tonight we're going to deal with it for the final time in this message or in this meeting. I'm saying the final time. It all depends upon how you receive it tonight. I'm doing part 3 of the sermon. I may have to do part 4. I'll preach on it until somebody gets it. I just believe we're here for a purpose. And that is to help people to understand the will of God. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Giving heed
to seducing spirits
and doctrines of devils.
Speaking lies in hypocrisy.
Having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Forbidding to marry. And commanding to abstain from meats. Which God created to be received with thanksgiving.
By
those who believe and know the truth.
I'm going to continue part 3 of this lesson. And the lesson is how does the Holy Spirit speak to men today? How does the Holy Spirit speak to men today? Now, I place these 3 words upon the board because I'm going to take a look at these particular words. Because I believe tonight, if you can understand these 3 words, as we make the proper application in Scripture, then I believe that you can leave here understanding without a shadow of doubt how God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to men today. Now, you need to understand from the outset that in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. By the mere fact that Jesus died and purges us from our sins, that gives Jesus Christ the right for everybody to hear what he has to say. Amen. Because Jesus went to Calvary. He's the only person in the world who died for the sins of the world. Therefore, Jesus is qualified to be heard tonight. As a matter of fact, if men are going to listen to anybody, they ought to listen to Jesus. Jesus Christ did enough for us to listen to what he has to say. As a matter of fact, we read Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5 the other night. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So God our Father sent God the Son, and he died on the cross. He was buried. He resurrected on the 3rd day. He got up with all power in heaven and in earth. And now Jesus is to be heard by us. Oh, if men want to know what to do to be saved tonight, they must listen to Jesus. Now, Jesus made a statement. We read this the other night. In John chapter 16 and verse number 13, he said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Now the Holy Spirit is going to take what Jesus said and give it to the apostles and the prophets. Go over to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. You need to see that Jesus is the spokesman for God. And yet Jesus is going to use the Holy Spirit to speak for him. And the Holy Spirit is going to use the apostles and the prophets to speak for him. God the Father used Christ to speak for him. And I just believe when we preach the word of God, we are speaking for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because this is a divine chain reaction. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the written word of God. Now watch the book. How that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore, in few words. Whereby, when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages
was not made known
unto the sons of men
as it is now revealed
unto his holy apostles
and prophets
by
the Spirit.
The Spirit. Now you need to see what Paul just said. How that by revelation, I told you the other night that Paul went into Arabia. And while he was there, he received the gospel by revelation. And Paul said how that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore.
In few words,
whereby when ye read,
ye may understand
my knowledge
in the mystery of Christ.
Now watch Paul. Paul said, now the revelation that I received, I wrote it so you can read it.
Yeah.
I said the revelation that Paul received, Paul wrote it. And the reason why Paul wrote it is because Paul wanted the folk at Ephesus to read it. And once they read what Paul wrote, they are reading the revelation that Paul got from the Holy Spirit. The same revelation that the Holy Spirit got from Christ. And the same revelation that Christ got from his Father. Now you need to watch what I'm doing. I'm going to look at these three words. I'm going to show you that all three of these words play a part in what was written. I'm going to show you that God dealt with his people in visions. God put them in trances. And then God gave them dreams. But all of these things that came from God became a part of what the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul and the other apostles. And when they wrote it, it is up to the world today to read it. Oh, I'm not going to rush myself tonight. Sister Mitchell fed me well. And I tell anybody, I remember one time I was down in Mississippi. I was preaching at a church and the preacher told me, I want you to go over to this widow woman's house. And she's going to feed you after church. And man, when I got there, she had these cast iron skillets. These big cast iron pots. And when you looked over in the pot, man, you talk about pinto beans. And, oh yeah, Sister Mitchell, you do well. But listen, a man, and this woman had all of this food prepared. And I sat down at the table, and she had everything laid out. She looked at me. She said, now, preacher, I want you to eat just like you preach. Lord, have mercy. Let me tell you something. I've been eating that way ever since. Isn't that all right? Oh, yes, I have. I've been eating like that ever since. And what I found out was this. When you eat like you're supposed to eat. It's like going to the gas station. When you take your vehicle to the pump, you put enough in there to fill it up. Well, the reason you fill it up is because you want to get the maximum out of the tank. Isn't that right? Well, that's why I eat like I do. Because I want to get the maximum out of the tank. When I finish eating, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach. And somebody asked me today, said, Brother Holt, you don't eat too much, you know, because, you know, some preachers can't preach when they eat. I told them, listen, I can preach before I eat. I can preach while I eat. And I can preach when I finish eating. So don't worry about me. Feed me. I don't go to churches on a diet. Feed me. I get on the diet when the meeting is over. Isn't that all right? Now I need to make this thing plain. I need you all to see where I'm going. You need to understand that God put all of this together to produce us a written Bible. And when we see all of this that God has put together, we are going to see what God wants us to do in matters of religion. Now, I need to take my time and work with this. Go to Acts chapter number 2 and verse 17. I need to go back and deal with this because the Bible is right. Now, remember what Paul said, how that by revelation, He made known to me the mystery, and I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, I need you to get this because God's word is right. In Acts 2:17, the Bible says,
And it shall come to pass.
And it shall come to pass.
In the last days.
In the last days.
Saith God.
Saith God.
I will pour out my spirit.
Of my spirit.
Upon all flesh.
Upon all flesh.
And your sons.
And your sons.
And your daughters.
And your daughters.
Shall prophesy.
Shall prophesy.
And your young men.
Your young men.
Shall see vision.
Shall see vision.
And your old men.
And your old men.
Shall dream dreams.
Shall dream dreams.
And on that.
Now notice. He said visions. He said visions. This word vision comes from the Greek word horesis. This word horesis, it means the act of gazing in an external aspect or an internal aspect. It is an inspired appearance or sight. In other words, God is going to inspire those that receive the vision. Did you catch it? Now, when God inspires those that receive the vision, these men and women, or in this particular case, the apostles on Pentecost, are inspired of God. Now, the daughters and the sons are going to prophesy. They are going to be inspired of God. Now, what we need to understand about this inspiration is that inspiration comes from a word, inspiro, theopneustos, which means God breathed. So God, through inspiration, is going to breathe His word on the recipients or those who are going to preach and teach His word. Now, in this case, He said, your young men shall do what? See visions. Your old men shall what?
Dream, dream.
Dream, dream. Now, all of this is coming together because God wants us to understand that He's going to inspire the visions. Yeah. These visions are inspired of God. Now, I need to go back to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 15. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 15. Then I'm going back to Daniel chapter 4 and verse 19. Then I'm going to Daniel chapter 2. Are you all going to be with me for a little while? I'm going to read Daniel 2, verse number 1. I'm going to read Daniel 2 and verse 47. Because I need to show you what God is saying in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 15.
I, Daniel.
He said, I, Daniel,
was grieved in my spirit.
In my spirit.
Within my body.
Within my body.
And the visions of my head.
And the visions of my head.
Troubled me.
Troubled me. Now notice, what did Daniel have in his head? Daniel had visions in his head. Now the Hebrew word for vision is spelled like this. The Hebrew word that's really sheva. And when you look at this Hebrew word for vision, this word simply means that God is supernaturally dealing in the mind of Daniel. God is supernaturally communicating with Daniel. You have to understand this. This vision that Daniel is having is a supernatural vision. It's not just something that Daniel is laying down and in his own mind and in his own thinking coming up with something. This is not from Daniel. This is a supernatural vision from God himself. Now, you all need to get this. If you don't get this, you're going to miss what I'm trying to tell you. Because you have so many people in religion today who are saying that God is still talking to them, that God is speaking to them, and that God is talking to them, and God is showing them this and showing them that. Well, honey, I'm going to show you tonight that God is not giving them vision. He's not giving them supernatural communication. All the speaking that God is doing today is revealed in his holy word.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to show it. I'm not almost finished, so don't you think I'm tired. Oh, no, we're not finished. We need to deal with this. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Because sometimes there is no difference between visions and dreams. Did you just catch what I said? Now, at times there are differences, but sometimes there are no differences between visions and dreams. Well, let's see if Daniel is going to bag me up on this. Are you in Daniel?
Yeah.
Chapter number 4 and verse 9. The Bible says,
Belshazzar, chief of the magicians.
Of the magicians.
Because I know that the spirit
he
of
said,
the Holy God.
He said, because I know that the spirit
of the Holy God is in you.
Is in thee.
And no secret
and
troubles
no
you.
And no secret trouble is thee.
Explain to
Tell
me.
Tell me.
The vision. Of my dream.
Of my dream. Now, wait a minute. What did he say? Tell me.
The visions
Tell
of my dream.
Tell me the vision.
Of my dream.
Of my dreams. In other words, all he wanted to know, whatever was in my head, I need an answer to it. The visions of my dream. He simply said that my mind was communicated with, and I need to know what was in my mind. My mind received a vision, and I need to know what it was. Somebody needs to listen to this. Now watch what the verse says in verse number 10.
These were the visions of my head.
Of my head.
While on my bed.
In my bed. I saw.
And behold.
In the midst of the earth was a tree.
And its height,
and the height
was great.
Was great. In other words, Daniel is getting ready to describe to this man what took place in the vision. Because later on, he's going to give him the reality of the dream. And what we have to understand is this. When you go back and look at Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel chapter 4, Belshazzar had a dream. And when you get to Daniel chapter 7, he is talking about dreams and visions. Well, all of this has to do with what God is trying to get through, because God is going to reveal the vision in Daniel's head, and the vision that Belshazzar had, and the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. God is going to communicate with Daniel through vision and inspire him and give him the interpretation. Now, that's a whole lot of talking to say something simple. But we have to go at it this way to get people to see it. Now, watch Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's see what the Bible says in Daniel 2 and verse number 1. Listen to your Bible.
In the second year
of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams.
Wherewith his spirit was troubled.
And his sleep. Break from him.
Now, where is Nebuchadnezzar? What is he doing? The man is dreaming. He's had a dream, and he needs some interpretation of the dream, because right now the dream is troubling him. Isn't that right? I mean, he's being troubled. Look at verse 7. Let me get some more verses in here. Look at verse 7.
They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servant
the dream.
And we will show the interpretation thereof.
But guess what? None of Nebuchadnezzar's men could interpret the dream. But thank God that was a man named Daniel. Isn't that right? Look at verse 10. The Bible says, of the Chaldeans
answered before the king and said,
There is not a man upon the earth
that can show the king the matter. Therefore, there is no king,
Lord, nor ruler,
that asks such things as any magician,
or astrologist, or Chaldean. You know, they said this thing is rare. Look at verse 11. This thing is rare.
And it is a rare thing.
It is a rare thing
that the king required.
And there is none other that can show it before the king except the God who dwelling is not with flesh. Isn't that amazing? In other words, no human can tell us. But I thank God for what God is able to do. Well, I need you to see this, because something is going to happen with Daniel. Look at verse number 47.
The king answered unto Daniel and said,
Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods.
And a Lord of kings.
And a revealer of secrets.
Seeing thou couldst reveal this secret.
This secret. Now, did you catch it? Now, what kind of God is it?
Isn't he the God of gods? Lord of kings.
Isn't he the Lord of all kings?
Revealer of secrets.
He's the revealer
of secrets.
Of secrets. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that nobody could interpret, but God put the vision, God put the inspired interpretation in the mind of Daniel, and Daniel told him what the dream was. I don't think anybody in Jamaica could have figured that out. As a matter of fact, how many kings today are having visions and dreams that affect the people of God, and a prophet of God needs to go to the king and tell him, give me your dream so I can communicate it to the people of the world. You didn't catch that? You have to catch it when I throw it out there. What is God doing today with the kings of the earth that a prophet of God needs to go and get his dream and interpret it for him? Honey, let's talk. I mean, it's amazing to me how God could put all of this in the Bible to help us to understand his will, show us everything that we need to see, and then people still turn around and say, well, I know what he told me. You mean to tell me, and I'm not being mean-spirited. Y'all have hurricanes over here every now and then? There is not one inspired preacher on this island that can look out there and beat the weatherman to the hurricane that's coming. Now, the fellas that can really make the money on y'all is the weather reporter. If the weather reporter turns preacher and says, God is dealing with me, and he looks out and says, hey, a hurricane is coming. God showed it to me. And that hurricane hits, everybody on the island will believe him. I hope I'm not giving these guys any ideas. But if they get them, tell them that I already told you they were coming. So bring the loot to Brother Mitchell and I. Are you all catching it? Man, I have to make this plain. I cannot let you leave here thinking the way you are thinking, because a lot of folk feel that God is showing them vision and they are trying to communicate those visions to the people. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God has finished with his visions. All of his visions, his trances, and his dreams became a part of the Bible. So whatever you're looking for, you can read it in the Bible. But I'm not finished. I need to go to the trance. And the reason I didn't put the S on the trance is because I want to go to Acts chapter 10 verses 9 and 10. Because I didn't want to talk about but one. Isn't that all right? That's all I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about but one. Acts chapter 10. A verse in 9 and 10. And I need you to see this. Because when I look at this word trance actually comes from this Greek word, ecstasis. I want you to get this, ecstasis. I want you to get it. Now, the word really means an amazement. It means to be amazed. It has to do with a person so amazed at what he sees, it becomes astonishing. Now, we use the English word ecstasy. We get this Greek word ecstasis, and it produces us the English word ecstasy. That's why a lot of folk, when they say, I'm caught up in the ecstasy, they are caught up in amazement. They are marveling over what's going on with them. So what I need you to understand is simply this. It is a displacement of the mind. It's a bewilderment, and it is to be amazed. Now notice what happened in Acts 10 and verse number 9. The Bible said,
On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh unto the city,
Peter went up on the housetop
to pray about the sixth hour.
And he became very hungry,
and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance.
Now you need to get this. What happened to Peter?
He fell into a trance.
Into a trance. Now all of a sudden, the displacement of Peter's mind is all changed. What did Peter go up on the housetop to do? Peter went up there to pray. But did he pray while he was up there? Or that's just what he went to do? He went up there to pray. It's about the 6th hour, so it's about 12 o'clock. So Peter went up about noontime to pray. Well, while Peter was up there going to pray, the Bible said he fell into a trance. In other words, Peter's mind is taken off of prayer, and God is getting ready to put his mind on something else. And what God is going to put his mind on is something Peter really needs to know about. God is getting ready to show Peter that the Gentiles are going to come into the church. But Peter would not have gotten this revelation from God had God not allowed him to fall into the trance. And once Peter fell into the trance, let's see what happened.
And saw heaven
open. And saw heaven open. Now watch this. He's in a trance. What does he see open?
Heaven.
He sees heaven open.
And a certain vessel. Descending on
the what?
Unto him.
As it had been a great.
She knit it
from four corners.
And let down to the earth. Wherein
were all manner of four-footed beasts
of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air and there came a voice to him Rise, Peter. Kill and eat. But Peter said,
Not so, Lord.
For I have never eaten anything common or unclean.
Now notice, Peter went up there for one thing, but God took him up there for something else. Now what was he in? He was in a trance. Now pray tell me, please tell me, why would God put you in a trance to show you something today that he wants you to do when he's already told you what to do in the Bible?
Amen.
Now why would he put you in a trance? Why would you fall into a trance? And then all of a sudden you start being amazed at what you're seeing. Who is it going to benefit? When you tell it to us, why are you telling it to us? Now listen, I've had some dreams before. Did you hear me? I've had some dreams before. I'm talking about some good ones. And the devil wasn't running me every time I had one. I've had some good ones. But my dreams have nothing to do with God's divine communication. Your dream, your vision, your transit have nothing to do with God's divine communication. All God wanted to communicate with man, he put it in the Bible.
Amen.
But I'm not finished. Because I just believe that if people are going to get this, I have to work on it. And that's why I believe the Lord blessed me to come over here so I can work on it. Isn't that right? Let's go back to Acts 2 and verse 17. Now, you all know I read the one verse a lot of times in a sermon. You all know that. I mean, I do that for a reason. Because I want to get this thing etched in your mind. I want to get it in your spirit. I want to get it in your soul. I want to get it in your very heart. Now, this word for dreams. I want you to come over there, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 17. We're going to look at it again.
And it shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass.
In the last days, saith God.
In the last days, saith God.
I will pour out my spirit. Upon all flesh.
Upon all flesh.
And your sons.
And your sons.
And your daughters.
And your daughters.
Shall prophesy.
Shall prophesy.
And your young men.
Your young men.
Shall see visions.
Shall see visions.
And your old men.
And your old men.
Shall dream dreams.
Shall dream dreams. You see that word dreams. That's in apneon. In apneon. That means something seen when a person is asleep. Did you get it? It means something seen when a person is asleep. All through the Bible, when men have dreams, they fall asleep. And while they are asleep, God comes and communicates with them while they are asleep. Now, the question that we have to deal with today is, does God come to us and divinely communicate with us when we are asleep? And if we can answer this question, I think we got this thing hooked. I just think we got it hooked. We got it hooked to the truth, and men everywhere ought to accept it. So when you talk about a dream, you're talking about a person who's receiving divine communication from God while he is asleep or is simply a vision. Now God, hear me, did not give all visions and all dreams to all prophets at all times. Now you need to understand what I just said. Everybody that dreamed, or as the educators would say, dreamt, didn't fall asleep and get divine communication from God. Can I work on this? Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 21 and 22. I need to show this.
I have not sent these prophets.
Now notice he said, I have not
sent these prophets.
These prophets?
Yet they ran.
Yet they ran.
I have not spoken
you
to them.
You know, I told you the other day, there's a difference between a sent preacher and a went preacher. So God said, I did not send these prophets.
Yet they ran.
Yet they ran.
I have not spoken to them.
I have not spoken to them.
Yet they prophesied.
Yet they prophesied. But if
they had stood in my counsel,
stood in my counsel
and had caused my people,
caused
to, hear
my
words,
people to hear my words,
then they should have turned them from their evil ways.
Them from their evil ways
and from the evil of their
doings. The evil of their doings. God said, now, if these prophets had stood in my counsel, did you catch it? If they had stood, y'all watch CNN? Mm-hmm. See, my sermon from this text is God's situation room. Okay. See, CNN has its situation room. But then God has his situation room. And when God looks at the situation, and when God puts his word out on what's going to happen with the situation, whatever God said is going to happen. Now these guys in the situation room, they're just guessing. Well, I think President Obama will do this. I think. Well, in God's situation room, God said, I know.
Amen.
Did you catch it? Now notice, he said in verse number 22, but if they had stood in my counsel and had called my people to hear my words. Now watch it. Whose words?
My words.
My words. I'm going to show you when the prophets stood in God's situation room, in God's counsel, God spoke to them in the dreams, in the trance, in the visions, and they knew exactly what they were supposed to say, and they knew exactly what was going to happen because they received it from God. And God cannot lie. I'm not going over to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 and hope that eternal life that God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I'm not going to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 that by two immutable things that it was impossible for God to lie. I'm not going to Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Shall he not do it? Has he spoken? Shall he not make it good? I'm not running all over the Bible. I'm just going to tell you, if God said it, that's it. Did you catch it? Now what we have to understand is this. God said, I did not send them, yet they ran. I'm coming back to chapter 23, but go to chapter 28 and verse number 8. I want to read verses 8 and 9. That's Jeremiah. We'll stand with Jeremiah. We'll be back to chapter 23, but I want to go to chapter 28, verses 8 and 9. Listen to what your Bible says.
The prophets that have been before me.
And before thee of old prophesied
both against
both
many countries.
And against kingdoms of war.
And of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace. When the word of the prophet shall come to pass. Then shall the prophet be known. That the Lord has truly sent him. Now listen. When the prophets say what God revealed to them in the dream, and the thing happens, then the folk know that he was sent by God. Isn't that amazing? Now wait. How many prophecies will the prophets get right when God sent them? I wish I had time. I'd go back and say about 4,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, Moses shot his arrow of prophecy, man, in Genesis 3:15, and hit the bullseye. David, about 1,000 B.C., shot his arrow of prophecy and hit the bullseye. Right there in Psalm 16:9-10, he was getting up from the dead. Isaiah, some 800, 700 B.C. Man, listen, Isaiah shot his bullseye. Isaiah 9:6, and he hit that, shot his arrow, and he hit the bullseye. Oh, I could tell you that Micah shot his arrow on the church of the coming of the house. Micah 4:1-4, and he hit the bullseye. I could tell you that every time a prophet spoke for God, he hit that target dead center. They didn't miss not one prophecy. Now, I'm not following anybody talking about, well, I get most of them right. If you've been sent by God, honey, you get all of them right. You can't be a prophet for me talking about, I'm sorry, I missed that one. You know how these guys will do. They don't get them all right because God is not showing them anything. I go to chapter 29. I wish still we're sticking with Jeremiah. I'll be finished in a while. Chapter 29, watch verses 8 and 9. Listen to this.
For thus says the
Lord of hosts. Thus said the Lord of hosts.
The God of Israel.
The God of Israel.
Let not your prophets. And your diviners.
And your diviners.
That be in the midst of you.
That be in the midst of you.
Deceive you.
Deceive you.
Neither hearken to your dreams. Which you have caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name.
I have not sent them.
Says the Lord.
Now the Lord said, the true one that I sent, they will prophesy and it'll come to pass. But these other guys who are dreaming, God saying, listen, I did not send them. They are out to deceive you. They are prophesying lies. And don't you hear what they have to say? Because they will take you away from me. They don't know what they are doing because I haven't showed them a dream at all. I'm not finished. Let's go back to Jeremiah 23. I need to work on this. See, I'm not going to turn this loose until just about everybody under this tent says, amen. Yeah, you're about ready for me to quit. I'll be getting amen before I speak. You're in Jeremiah chapter 23.
Yes,
now watch verses 25 and 26.
I have heard what the prophets said. That prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I have dreamed.
Now wait a minute. How in the world can we today believe that every prophet, every preacher, every person who comes about saying, God said to me, how can we believe all these folk when God is saying in the Bible, there are some that did it in my name, but I didn't give it to them?
That's right.
All of this in the Bible on all of these false prophets, but for some reason today, we seem to think every man with his collar turned backwards is sent from God. Did you catch it? Y'all remember that little suit I had on the other night? It didn't have a tie to it, just a nice little. Listen, every now and then, they made that suit for me when I was over in Trinidad. And every now and then when I want to feel important. When I really want some respect downtown, and I want them to talk to me in a dignified manner, I put that bad boy on and I go downtown. and everybody I meet, how do you do, sir? Hello, sir. Y'all think I'm playing, don't you? No, 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 I don't play. You don't think so? Let me tell you what I said one time, man. And then one of the sisters came to me later and said, Brother Hope, was that really true? Let me tell you what I did. That was a young man. I was helping train him to preach. And this young man, they told me he had a black belt in karate. So he was tough. And so one of the members told me they had seen him doing some stuff he had no business doing. And I felt like I needed to talk to him. But I knew he had a black belt in karate. But I have to talk to him because what he's doing, he's bringing shame on the Lord's church. Now, I might bring some shame on him, but won't anybody know it in town but him? So I called him to my house. And he came to my house. I said, Brother Preacher, I need to talk to you. He said, yes, sir. I said, now they tell me that you have a black belt in karate. He said, oh, yeah, yeah, you know how they are. Yeah, yeah, you know. I said, well, let me just put this on the table right here. So I put my 38. I had a snub nose. I put it on the table. He looked at me. And I looked at him. I said, now since you have a black belt in karate, I have this. Now I need to tell you what Jesus wants you to know. And I told him what Jesus wanted him to know. He didn't get up and kick at me, and I didn't pull that snub nose on him. When I finished with him, he came on back to the church, repented of his sin, and we were good friends. So the sister came to me and said, did you really do that? Now, why would I tell y'all a lie? Yes, I did. Because I needed him to hear what God had to say. Y'all all right? I know I'm all right. I'm still here and I've never been kicked by that karate expert. If men were lying and prophesying falsely back then, why don't we think that men will lie and prophesy falsely today?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
They did it then. They even did it when Jesus was walking the earth. Man, and they knew he had power to do stuff that no one had ever done, and they still did it. Now watch the Bible.
For how long?
How long
shall this be in the house of the prophet?
Shall this be in the house of the prophet?
That prophesy lies.
That prophesy lies.
Yea.
Yea.
They are prophets of the deceit of their own heart.
They are prophets of the deceit
of their own heart.
Their own heart. Now, if men can dream and prophesy deceit from their own heart back then, why don't we think some folk are doing it today? I'm not finished. Drop down to verses 30 through 32. Listen to this.
Therefore,
behold, I am against the prophets.
Says the Lord.
Says the Lord.
That steal my words.
Now notice what they're doing. I'm against the prophets that what?
Steal my words.
Steal my word.
Everyone from his neighbor.
Everyone from his neighbor.
Behold, I'm against the prophets.
Notice I'm against the prophets.
Says the Lord.
Says the Lord. Now the reason he's against them is because these men are stealing his word from the neighbors. In other words, they ought to be telling their neighbors the truth, but they are prophesying falsely. That was a lady invited to a Bible study. And as we were studying the Bible, she had a pamphlet. And this little pamphlet fell out of her Bible. And that thing hit the table. And quickly my eyes, boom. And on it, because I'm looking for stuff. I'm trying to help her be saved. saw it. I said, let me see that. She gave it to me. And the thing had a caption up top and a picture under it. And it said, Master Prophet Jordan. Master Prophet Jordan. I said, do you send money to him? Master Prophet Jordan. I said, go over, hold that. You go to Matthew 23. I said, go to Matthew 23. I took over there. I'm taking you. Come on. It's not just a story. It's Bible study. Matthew 23 and beginning of verse number 8. Watch what the Bible says. Matthew 23 beginning with verse 8.
What? Ye be not called rabbi.
But be ye not called rabbi.
For one of your
master. One.
Is your master.
Is your master.
Even Christ.
Even Christ. Read.
And all your. And all
ye are what?
Brethren.
Brethren. Read.
And call no man
and
your father.
And call no man your father.
Upon the earth.
Upon the earth.
For one is your father.
One is your father.
Which is in heaven.
Which is in heaven.
Neither be ye called
master. Neither ye called master.
For one.
For one.
Is your
is
master.
Is your master.
Even Christ.
Even Christ. Master. Prophet. Jordan. That lady read that. She said, read that again. Hold it. Verse 10. Read that again.
Neither be ye called
neither
master.
Neither be ye called master.
For one is your
for
master.
For one is your master.
Even Christ.
Even Christ. You see that word rabbi? That word rabbi means master teacher. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the only spiritual guide in religion. And we need to understand that Brother Mitchell is not the spiritual guide in religion. Dale Holt is not the spiritual guide in religion. Jesus Christ is the only one spiritual guide in religion. Call no man master. Amen. Amen. And her name is Regina Wicker Bay. And I baptized her that day. Did you catch it? Because she understood that Master Prophet Jordan had taken too much authority upon himself. Amen. Amen. Now, why people like that will obey the gospel, and I have to wrestle with some of you all. I've been preaching hard every night. Isn't that right? Amen. Trying to get you to see a simple truth. Oh, it's simple. But people fight it. Let me tell you what they say. They say, well, you know, the Lord is speaking to me. Now, either the Lord is going to speak to you through the vision, through the trance, through the dream. That's how we just read him speaking. Either he's going to do that to you, or he's going to speak directly to you, or he's going to speak directly through you. We read that the other night, right? So either the Holy Spirit is going to come and speak directly to you. Or he's going to give you a vision. He's going to give you a trance. He's going to give you a dream. Now if God is doing all of that today, for people today, what's the purpose of the Bible? Now I need to know, what's the purpose of the Bible? We don't need the Bible if God is just going to tell everybody what to do. And if the preacher says to you over there at some church, well, you know, I'm the spiritual leader. And he communicates to me so I can communicate with you. Well, what you need to find out is this. If he's the spiritual leader, that God wants him to communicate to you, and he communicates to the spiritual leader, you need to find out from him, what if God doesn't give him the communication on your situation? What are you going to do then? Now, these guys don't know everything there is to know about you, do they? You know, these guys, I'm serious, they make me sick. You know what they'll say? They'll say, I'm prophesying today. Oh, there is somebody who has cancer. Somebody who has cancer. What's so amazing about somebody has cancer? Every person I know has it. And he doesn't even know he has it. What kind of prophesying is that? What kind of speaking is that? Oh, I'm prophesying today somebody is going to meet a very lovely lady. I mean, what kind of prophecy is that? All you got to do, man, is go outside. Oh, I'm prophesying today somebody is getting ready to get a nice check, a big check. Man, all these lawsuit folk aside, surely somebody going to get a nice check. And then the people get the nice check and run to the television and say, oh, pastor, oh, you prophesied that somebody was going to get a nice check and I got my check. Honey, well, you were going to get that check if that man hadn't said a word. Now, I need to work on this. I'm trying to finish. Because people, man, are so mesmerized by these folks that they really think these guys are whole, have the hold on something. They have a hold on something. These guys, man, are just hoodwinking you all. They don't know what they are talking about. Now, let me drop this. I got at least four more scriptures. Four more that I need to use. But let me tell you why you dream dreams. You want to know why you dream dreams? I'm going to prove to you in the Bible why you dream dreams. See, I know why you dream. God has taught me why you dream. I know where dreams come from. I know why you dream the dream that you dream. You see, God put this Bible, man, together for people who love the truth. And if you love the truth, you don't have to worry about finding it. It'll find you. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let me show you why you dream at night. It had nothing to do with God. And I'm going to show you. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 3, and then we're going to drop down to verse 7, and then we're going to talk. Are you all in Ecclesiastes? Mm-hmm. The chapter is 5. I want you to listen to verse number 3.
For a dream cometh through the multitude of business.
The multitude of business.
And a fool's voice is known.
Known by multitude of words. Drop down to verse 7.
For in the multitude of dreams.
And many words.
There are also divers vanities. But fear thou God.
Now notice, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business. When you go through daily activities, when you do your daily business, when your mind is so controlled about your business, you go to bed at night. In your subconscious mind, all of the stuff that you've been dealing with all day, that stuff conjures up in your mind when you start sleeping. And whatever that business has been, that's what comes on your mind. So wait a minute. Well, let's say then you've been reading the Bible half the day. Let's say your business has been reading Scripture. In your subconscious mind, guess what happened to those scriptures? They lock in your brain. I know I'm right about it. That's why I could run over to Psalm 119 in verse number 11 and say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I can drop down to verse number 160 and say, thy word is true from the beginning. I can go up to verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I can go all over that book. You know why? Because that's been the multitude of my business. So when I go to bed at night, what do you think I'm going to be dreaming about? Come on now, talk back to me. Come on, talk to me. So when a preacher or a quote pastor reads his Bible and he learns some of the biblical things in the Bible and he sleeps, He dreams about stuff that he's read. That's not God divinely communicating with him. That's God put his word in it before he went to bed. Y'all catch that?
So here you are at the shop all day working. Oh, you pressing. Boy, you pressing. You in the shop, you pressing. And all of a sudden, you know, you go home and you go to bed. And then you start dreaming. Now remember, you've been pressing. And all of a sudden, you're dreaming, man, and here comes this big old block coming down on you. No, did you get it? This big block is coming down on you. What you think this block is getting ready to do? Press you. What is this block getting ready to do? Press you. You've been walking around all day long. And you've been listening to music all day. And then all of a sudden you go home and you go to bed. And everything, man, you start just wild stuff. Just start coming in your mind. It's just wild. And you can't figure out why is all this wild. And you've been listening to all that wild music all day. See, from your multitude of business come your dreams. And they have nothing to do with God. People need to understand, and I'm trying to quit. People need to understand, when it comes down to God's communication, God has done his communicating with man, and he's done it through his word. Amen. Amen. Now, I told you all I had 4 more scriptures, right? Might have 5, but let me put down something. I want to go 2 at a time. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And I want to go to Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Or I may have to go all the way to verse 8. I don't know. It all depends on where the word is that I'm looking for. Isn't that all right? Yeah, but the Bible is right. I need you to see this. Because we need to understand the voice of God. People don't understand the voice of God. They think, man, oh, God's voice is speaking to me. But I'm going to show you how God's voice speaks. And that's what people need to know. Now, did you get this dream thing? See, if you didn't get this dream thing, I need to stop and park and work on it some more. And I tell people where I preach, honey, if you don't say amen, you make me think you don't understand what I'm saying. And when I think you don't understand, I have to preach some more to make sure you understand. So don't say amen. I'm just going to think you don't understand. And I have to go back over it. Isn't that all right? And people wonder, well, Brother Holt, why you baptize people? Because I go back over it. Isn't that right? Now watch something in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7.
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said,
today,
if ye will hear
his voice,
harden not your heart.
People take that, right? They say, well, you know, the Bible said, the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But then they have a problem with, now how does he speak? How do I hear his voice? I need to know, God, how do I hear your voice? How do I know it's your voice?
Go to Exodus 19. Now, you go over to John chapter 8, verse 47. You wait on me. Okay, I'm coming over there too. Wait a minute, Brother Fisher. Wait a minute. Now, I need you, get this thing straight. Because people need to see. Oh, they say, oh, the Bible said the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Honey, I'm going to show you how you hear his voice. God is not just hollering down from heaven and saying, hey, Joe.
That's right.
I want to tell you, go over to the Patrick Garden Church of Christ and become a member over there. Y'all catch it? If God said, hey, Fisher, where you going? Well, Lord, I'm going to work. No, don't you go today. You go home and rest. Wouldn't that be wonderful if God talked to us like that? Every time we get ready to do something, God hollers out from heaven and says, wait a minute, don't you go today. Don't do that. Man, it'll be echoes all over this.
That's right. Yes, sir.
This country.
That's right.
People hollering, who's talking to him? Who was that? What was that? I need you to get it. And don't tell me he has a select few. I'm going to show you he's no respecter of person.
That's right. That's right.
You see, God chose special people back then for a specific purpose in order to get us this Bible. And once we have it, he doesn't select people specially anymore.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
You see, Mary, the virgin mother of Jesus, Mary. God had to use somebody to get Jesus in the world. Did you catch it? If Jesus had not come in flesh, nobody would be saved. So God looked out among Abraham's seed and found a virgin named Mary and said, I'll send him through her. Now listen. The day your pretty little daughter comes home and say, Daddy, I'm pregnant, but I just like Mary. I'm a virgin just like Mary. Y'all, I had to say that. Just like Mary, Daddy. Now, Daddy could be the preacher that believes in miracles. But that's one. He's just not going to believe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can I move on? He's not going to believe it. So God had to take special people at special time in order to bring about his special will. And once that was completed, once God put his will in the book, there's no need to pick anybody especially anymore.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Talk, preacher. Amen.
Now, watch this. Watch this. I'm in Exodus 19, beginning with verse 5.
Now, therefore, if you'll obey my voice,
if ye will obey my
voice indeed.
Indeed.
And keep my covenant.
And keep my
covenant.
Covenant.
Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all peoples.
If ye will obey my voice. No. My voice. Mm-hmm. What did God want them to obey?
His voice.
His voice. But now what did he tell them to keep?
His covenant.
Amen.
They're going to obey his voice, but he told them to keep my covenant. So what God is getting ready to do, God is getting ready to put his voice in the covenant.
That's right. That's right.
So when they obey the covenant, they are obeying his voice.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you didn't catch that?
Yes, sir.
God is not going to speak down to Israel every day. God is going to put his covenant in words. And when the covenant comes in words, every time they hear the words of God, they hear the voice of God.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
You can't catch that? Go to Romans. Go over to John chapter 10. I'm almost finished. I told you chapter 8, right? Yeah, that's where I want to go. I want to go to 8. Now I want to go to verse number 47 because I need you to hear this. Wait a minute. He said now to Israel, if ye will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, saith the Lord. Didn't he say that? Yeah. Well, let's see now what Jesus said while he's here.
He that is of God. Heareth God's word.
Heareth God's word.
Ye therefore hear.
Wait a minute. If he is of God, what will he do? Well, if he will hear God's word, if you are of God, you'll hear God's voice. So where is God's voice? God's voice is in his word. Honey, if you want to hear from heaven, you better read the Bible. A lot of these people running around talking about, honey, the Lord spoke to me last night. Did you read? If you didn't read, he didn't speak to you. And people need to get this. Because too many folk are missing it and trying to tell others about the good news of God. But you can't do it if you miss this. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. How many scriptures is that? Somebody counting. I heard somebody say 4. No, by my calculations, that's 3. Okay, let's say it's 4.
We have also.
Now listen to this. Now church, this is what I want you to know, and I'm about to close seriously. What the Lord is getting ready to do with Peter through the Holy Spirit. Now the other day, we talked about verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy man of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, right? Now I want you to listen to verse 19 carefully, because this verse is very, very key. Now watch this.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy.
A more sure
word of prophecy.
Word of prophecy. Now, wait a minute. A more sure word of prophecy. Now, when Peter writes this passage, you need to watch the context in which he wrote it. Now, go up to verse 15.
Moreover, I will endeavor
that ye may be able after
my decease
to have these things always
in remembrance.
Now wait a minute. Peter is saying, now listen, fellas, I'm going to die. And after I leave here, I want you to have something that you can always remember.
Right.
Now did you all catch that?
Yes.
Now I know Peter was guided by the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Day. I know Peter was guided by the Holy Spirit when he went down there to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. I know Peter was guided by the Holy Spirit when he wrote the book of First and Second Peter. I know Peter is being guided by the Holy Spirit. So Peter said, now listen, fellas, I want to leave you all something. And I know when I decease, when I leave here, when I leave this world, when I put off this old tabernacle, I want something back here for you to remember. Now watch what he says.
Moreover.
Now go on down to verse 16.
For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you.
Now notice, when we made known unto you.
The power. And the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses.
Notice. Wait a minute. He said, now listen, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. In other words, we're not talking about this old fogey stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh no, we're not talking about this stuff people made up. We're not fabricating, is what Peter's saying. Peter is saying, now listen, we were eyewitnesses
of his majesty. For he received
now,
from
I
God.
Need to show you when Peter is dealing with being an eyewitness. Now, Peter said what?
For he received from God. The Father.
Honor and glory.
When there came such a voice.
To him from the excellent glory.
This is my beloved son. In whom I am well pleased.
Wait a minute. Peter, what are you talking about? After 6 days, Jesus taken with him Peter, James, and John into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before him, and his face did shine as the light, and his clothes as the brightness and white, and behold, Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, 1 for thee, 1 for Moses, 1 for Elijah. And the Bible said, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, Peter is saying, we were up on that holy mountain. We saw the glory of the Lord come down on that mountain. And the Lord said, this is my beloved son. We are eyewitnesses of what we saw. We know what we saw. We were on that mountain. We saw him talking to Elijah. We saw him talking to Moses. And yet Peter said, I'm going to give you a more sure word of prophecy.
Amen. Amen.
You know what Peter is saying? Peter is saying, what I'm getting ready to leave you is more sure than what we saw on that mountain. Now, how many of you all will put your eyewitness up against the word of God? Do you all realize what Peter is saying? You know what Peter is saying? Peter is saying, I will take the word of God over what I saw with my own eyes on that mountain. And then people run around there talking about, well, honey, I know what I heard. Match what you heard with what Peter saw. You remember I told you all I was incarcerated, locked up. Let me tell you what a preacher came and told me one time. He said he saw Jesus in a vision. And you all have to know me. Being from the deep south, I wanted to know what color was he. I'm serious. I asked this preacher, how did he look? And wait a minute. That preacher told me he was jet black. I'm serious. And when he told me that, I concluded that was just a little too black. Now, I don't have a problem with him being black, but jet black. Now, really, I can take my Bible and I can run some black blood through his linens. Now, don't touch on me now. Now, I can go get some black blood in his linens. Did you all hear what I just said? I can go get some black blood in his linens now. That's why I wrote a book entitled The Generational Curse. I know there is no generational curse, but the title will catch people's attention and then they'll want to read it. And I hook up Jesus' ethnicity in the book. I don't have a witness, so don't ask me how much it costs. Now listen to this. Now hold it. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 16. Now remember now, that preacher said to me, Jesus was what? Jet black. Now let me show you why I concluded that he was too black. Now watch this now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16.
Wherefore? Henceforth know we no man.
Henceforth know we no man.
After the flesh.
After the flesh.
Yea. Though we have known
Though
Christ.
Though we have known Christ.
After the flesh.
After the flesh.
Yet now
henceforth know we him no more. At one time, they knew him after the flesh. He came in the flesh. But when he got up, I'm telling you, he received his glorious, resurrected body. And now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And we don't know him after the flesh anymore. That man had Jesus too black. I'm almost finished. Listen. When it comes down to the Bible, all of the things that God did, he was working on one thing, and that's getting this book
into the world so that men everywhere can know what they need to do to be saved. And I can tell you right now, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken of angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedient, received as just repents of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? In other words, God said, I have a salvation that you need. I had to take all of these men. I had to give some of them some visions. I had to put some in trances. I had to give some dreams. I had to speak to some audibly. I put angels out there and let angels talk to people. I put a donkey and I had a donkey to talk to old Balaam. I did some stuff down at a burning bush and I spoke to Moses through that burning bush. I put all of that together to give you this book. But I want you to know if everything that Jesus did was recorded in the book, the world itself could not contain the books which should be written. So God had to give us a selected gospel. God had to go and select things that he wanted us to know, and he put it in that book. That's why when I read John chapter number 20 and verses 31, 30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. In other words, God put all of that together so that we can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm so glad Jesus came down through 42 generations. I'm just so glad that when he came in the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I the Son of Man am? Some said he was John the Baptist. Some said he was Elijah, and others said he was Jeremiah. But Jesus wasn't satisfied with what the folks said. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I just thought I would tell you that when Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, I looked at John chapter 18 and verse number 36. When Jesus stood before Pilate, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews? But my kingdom is not from hence. I'm so glad Jesus said, my kingdom is not from hence. Well, in one verse he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, I will give you the key of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, if the kingdom is not of this world, then Jesus, where is it from? I'll tell you where it's from. It's from the same place that I came from. I came from heaven, and the kingdom comes from heaven. In other words, when I came down here, I was God's authority on earth. I was God's power on earth. Oh yes, in Mark chapter 9 and verse number 1, he said, there shall be some which stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Yes, the kingdom of God came with power on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the the house where they were sitting, there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded. In other words, on Pentecost, the kingdom came. Oh yes, the church is now here. When the kingdom came, oh Jesus, oh Peter stood up on that memorable day in Acts 2 and verse 29. He said, my brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath unto him that of the fruit of his loins are caught into the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Jesus was sitting on the throne on the day of Pentecost. The power came on the day of Pentecost. The church of Christ was established on the day of Pentecost. And if you are in a church that was established any other place, I'm telling you, your church was established at the wrong place. Yes, when I look at the Roman Catholic Church in 606 A.D., a man by the name of Boniface III over in Rome, I'm telling you, this man over in Rome became the universal head of the church. And I stopped by to tell you, the Roman church started at the wrong time by the wrong man in the wrong place, and it's called by the wrong name. I just thought I'd tell you, when it come down to this church called the Congregationalist Church, it was started in 1550. And I'm here to tell you, it was over there in Germany. Wrong place, wrong time, wrong man, and wrong name. Any church you throw up here, honey, I'll tell you when it started, by whom it started, where it started, and it still wears the wrong name. You see, the church that Jesus built is the only church that salvation is in. We can argue all we want to, but the Bible is right. And it amazes me how these folk can say God is speaking to them, but he never tells them about the church of Christ. Now that's mind-boggling to me. Jesus came and built the church, and these guys won't even talk about it, but they say God told them everything else. Why doesn't God at least tell one of them that the church of Christ is in the Bible? Not a one. You've heard the word, believe it. Repent of your sin, confess Jesus Christ before this audience, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins.